Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Hooligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Matthew Bird.
Hello.
You know, I like these episodes now.
Because we're winning?
Because we're winning. And this will probably be the last time we talk about MLS.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Because we're winning.
It's Mark Gardner, as we walk up to the stands on Saturday, says, I want man hugs today.
Yeah.
And we're not used to jumping around with excitement and winning.
We have no guest today. We did invite GM Jeremy Allenbaugh, and he begged off because he was having some dental procedure done. But I think, you know, we know how superstitious Jeremy is. I think he's not coming on the pod as long as they're winning.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, he's flat out lying to us.
I think so. That would make sense.
He's in his basement right now with the same pair of socks he's had on for 3 weeks.
There's candles lit.
Yeah.
A little voodoo going on.
Sydney shoves a tray of food under his door.
There's like a ring of salt around his bed.
So that's okay, Jeremy.
Well, he didn't have a tooth pulled after the draw at Louisville. He had one pulled after Ottawa, and you know, probably just went to the dentist with a healthy set of teeth and said, "Look, you got to pull it. You know, this is the way it is."
Every game.
how many teeth does a human have?
As long as he's got 18.
And how many?
Hopefully enough to get to the playoffs.
It's like a 32 game schedule, isn't it? And there are 32 teeth in the mouth.
I think so.
I think we can go undefeated. Maybe he better skip a few so he has a few teeth left for
the
playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need at least, what, 4 for the playoffs?
Yeah.
So it'll be great watching him trying to eat an apple.
But at least we're winning.
he doesn't care as long as we're winning.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It'll catch on.
We'll get a GoFundMe going for his dentures.
We could do that.
It'd be a best use of a GoFundMe in this town in a while.
We'll get to that. But let's talk about everything that was Red Bull New York 2.
Winning. I like winning.
Mr. Bird wrote a good piece this week.
Thanks to all four of you that retweeted it.
But, I mean, it's true. We've been elated the last two games. Mm-hmm. We've had late come-from-behind winners. But we should be a little cautious. I mean, I think we were the better team in both of those games, but I think we gave away 4 goals.
How many games last season were we the better team and then, you know, crapped out?
Well,
so I mean, I think we're naturally pessimistic because we remember what's happened the last 2 years. Yeah, it was great. It was great to get the win, and I think that a lot of character shone through and the will to win shone through, and I like that.
Well, we said it after Ottawa. If we'd have gone down, you know, after scoring early, that'd be it.
Yeah,
game would be over. Again, this team shows that they're not going to give up. They believe in themselves, and they're going to keep going.
What does concern me is that, especially in the first half of the Red Bull game, is that we battered them. We were all over them.
Question.
And we failed to put them away. And I get that happens sometimes, you know, that you deserve a 3-0 lead, but you're only 1-0 ahead. And there was something about that made me think, we're not out of the woods yet.
Right.
And it proved to be the case. But still, we won, and that's all you can ask for. But I do think we have reason to just cool our jets a little.
Well, and there's also something to the whole, you know, you make your own luck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I forget, somebody said it this week. Maybe it was Adam Duke. We're creating chances. We're getting shots, and we're getting shots on goal.
Quality.
Whereas last year, we might have 3 shots for the entire game, and if we used them up in the first 10 minutes of the game, that was it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I did not panic. I did not fret when we went down. I mean, of course, I get a little, you know, pessimistic because I'm Brad, but I always...
He says wearing in the Arsenal shirt.
Yeah.
Right now.
I don't want to talk about that either. But I had faith that it wasn't over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so when you know, we got the penalty, it's like, yeah, back in it, we're on. So, I don't know. It has a different feel than last season. I'm much more confident about this team. But it's not all perfect yet.
No, and it was the first game where I had said, okay, you know, we're down, but I'm not worried.
Yeah.
And same thing happened again this time. I was at the bathroom. I ended up talking to people. It was about 10 minutes late coming back to the stands, and we're down in the second half. But it's like, well, okay. But that's the way they continue to play on the field with that confidence that we just don't see. And to be fair, we're not seeing it in the teams that we play either. You know, as good as Red Bull was last year, they didn't they didn't seem to have that poise and confidence like former champs.
And I'm not writing Red Bull off either. I mean, these players are in their system for a reason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They're good players, and it could click. And we see that with a lot of the two teams. The early part of the season, they're just kind of wandering out there. But towards the end of the season, you know, Red Bull could be back to where they were. I'm not denigrating them at all yet.
Not one bit.
But what does concern me, and I touched on in the article I wrote yesterday, was that we are pretty banged up, guys.
Oh, we're very banged up right now.
And credit to the guys that came in and did the business on Saturday. But sooner or later, we keep getting injuries. We keep getting banged up. We lose people to the physio table. That's going to catch up with us. And that concerns me because we've got two tough games coming up this week.
Yeah, let's finish off with Red Bull New York before we get to those away games. Jose Angulo won player of the week for USL.
Well, no.
He was in the team of the week.
That's what I meant. Team of the week. I think I was a little kind to him. Played well.
Yeah, yeah, and I didn't realize it was his head onto Rudolph for the winner.
Yes, that was a beautiful header. Yeah,
and I have a feeling that was a big part of his picking up the honors.
Yeah,
because that was no pun intended, very heads up play to see Seth going through. I mean, he really.
And let me say it, I'm the first one to give Seth grief. He buried that.
Oh, man, he smashed it.
And I think that was the perfect use of Seth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He has come on as the super sub, you know, in the 60th minute.
He does have the wheels, and bringing him on late.
Especially against the team that's played two games in a week, the Wednesday and the Saturday.
And it's kind of like I said about Roberts before. You know, he might not have it to play all game, although Roberts ended up proving me wrong and being quite a player. Seth is that kind of guy, though, that's got the... I called him Walcott to you the other day. Because he'll get there in a flash. Whether he puts it in or not, that's another question. But he saw that ball, and he looked it all the way into the goal.
There was still a lot for him to do once he got the ball, though, when he smashed it.
Oh, no, it was a beautiful strike.
And he knew it, too.
But he mentioned in the post-game interview that he just made eye contact with Jose, and he knew what to do with it. So, I mean... They're starting to get to know each other, and Angulo, we've been a little hard on him too. He put that ball perfectly.
And I think whilst we don't know what goes on in the dressing room and what goes on in training and stuff, but I always said that I thought Angulo was kind of on the outside looking in. It was Dalgard, Milan, and Christian who were going to be our starters. You know, it took a lot of balls for Angulo to step up and take the penalty, knowing that the game was on the line at that point.
And he, again, looked at the whole way through. There was never a question as soon as he touched it.
Speaking of the penalty, let's give a little praise to Valeski. Again, early goal, and then he drew that penalty in the box.
He won the penalty, and credit for the first goal. I mean, he should never have scored that goal. I mean,
The
defender made a right town halls of that.
But he didn't give up on that ball, and a lot of forwards would have, because there was nothing to go for, but he made something out of it.
And that's the thing, we're seeing that these guys, the Angulo, the Christian, Seth, that they're getting to balls that, you know,
by rights they have no right to.
That they're beating the defenders, they're making those challenges, they're getting to it.
And I think that has to speak to Preki and his drilling them
and the system,
and keeping on them. I mean, those of us who've been to a training session, he doesn't let up on them. No. You know, you run the ball all the way out.
The intensity is high. I've only been at one training session, and the intensity was high. But I also noticed that in Louisville battered us for 60 minutes of that game and couldn't break through. But you could tell that I thought that we'd had 3 weeks more of preseason than them, because in the last 30, they faded and we came on strong. And I think that was a testament to our fitness. And you've also got to think that that's why we're scoring late in games. You know, is a fitness issue.
Again, we're seeing these guys that, you know, again, Seth last year maybe didn't have it, but this year coming on late, it's a perfect place for him. You know, Volsky, you know, coming on for Christian, that's a hard sub to make because he's had a fantastic past couple of games. But but you're absolutely right. They're coming on and with a pace, and the other guys on the field are still able to match pace. That was the thing about that ball from Angulo. He had to get to it first to be able to serve it to Seth. And
Winning's great, isn't it?
Well, and I mean, we could do a bunch of other shout outs. I do want to mention Tyler David. He won our Lulligan Man of the Match.
Jesus, did he work hard.
And again, that's a guy that we liked a lot last year, and he's absorbing all this knowledge that these players around are bringing. And, you know, we'll talk about it when we get to the injuries, but, you know, it was a killer when we found out Mirkovic is down with a broken leg. I mean, he's had a successful surgery, and we wish him the well. But Tyler David's one of those guys that now has to step up and play, and he proved he's ready to do it.
Oh, I always thought that Tyler could come in and do a job. I thought that last year, and no coincidence that we went on a slump, and he's in the stands with us banging the drum, and then in a couple of games' time, he gets picked to play against Colorado Springs, and we won that game. Yeah. I always have confidence that Tyler can come in and do a job. Yeah. He was our most underrated player last year, to be honest.
The thing was, too, is that we said this while we were trying to figure out the man of the match, is that we're finally back to being able to give it to guys for their work effort and the success that they create, rather than, oh, you scored.
And there were three or four guys with a shout. I mean Dragon continues to impress. Again, Dahlgaard, before he got hurt, was out there working hard.
You had, Tavo. Tavo, it was amazing. You know, midfield. How many times last year did we beg for midfield? And
we had the same conversation in the Ottawa game. Who do we give it? I mean, Bjerman was good, and Dragon is quality. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right. Dragon could be one of those guys that always is second for man of the match. Yeah. You know, he may not win any buckets, but he's going to be high in the voting come the end of the year. I mean, if he keeps it up for one of our players of the year.
And the thing is, too, is that, you know, everybody talked about Mirko and Tavo, and he's been one of the best signings of the offseason just because of the consistent performance he puts in.
I think quietly, I didn't know what to expect from him, but he's been a big, pleasant surprise to me.
We have a Dragon.
And his name's Dragon, so. All right, let's talk about the next couple games. We do want to mention we're having watch parties at ITAP Soulard.
Cannot wait.
So please feel free to come on Wednesday and on Saturday.
Drink specials.
They've got the little back area reserved for us starting a half hour before kickoff.
They're sponsoring our Man of the Match bucket, so.
And Wednesday's got a Blues playoff game starting at 8:30, so you can stay and watch the Blues after the, should kind of tie right into each other.
Just because my stress levels weren't high enough.
That's right.
We'll just double down that night.
So, we're taking on Pittsburgh first. What do we know about Pittsburgh this year, guys?
Pittsburgh, 1-1-1. They drew against New York Red Bull 3-3 in the first game. They came from behind three times. And they tied with someone else, can't remember, but they did just go to Charleston and beat them 2-1.
Cincinnati was
1-0. Oh, yeah, they got beat by Cincinnati. And Pittsburgh, I thought they were going to be bottom feeders again this year, but, you know, they're doing okay. They've got a couple of good players, Corey Herzog and Kevin Kerr, that they're always, you know, perennial quality players in this league. Quite why they're still in Pittsburgh, I don't know, maybe. But they're decent. I mean, they're dangerous. They've got two really dangerous guys. I still think if we play...
It's a tight pitch there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we play like we have the last two games, we should have enough to come away with some points. Cincinnati, though. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean...
But it also depends on what... If Preki gets a couple of guys back, if he's still back to the bare bones of his squad, we don't know what team we can put out there.
That's true. And at Nippert, I mean, you know, we make fun of them a lot because they always brag about their attendance, but it does make a difference. I mean, our guys have talked about how big a difference we've made at home to them.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati's going to have, you know, 15 to 17,000 people there. That's a big crowd, and that's their home opener.
Yeah.
So they're going to be fired up, and they're going to be making a lot of noise.
They've got to be fired up because they're playing like shit right now.
Well, but I mean, they're looking at this as an opportunity. Just like we were excited to see Red Bull on 3 days rest, they're looking at us, and they're going to say, they're going to come in here tired, and we can nip this.
But also, we've said this about teams that come to us, that, you know, your Torontos and your Portland Timbers and your teams that don't play in front of big crowds, they come to us and they raise their game because they see a full house. Even though it's only 6,000 people, you know, it's noisy, there's atmosphere.
Tight quarters.
You know, so they raise their game because they're playing in front of a decent crowd. We could quite easily go there and raise our game too. I mean, it's not beyond the pale.
That's true. We are sending 20 to 30 people, I think, are going there, but... It's a big, big stadium, and hopefully our guys do get up for it. But that said, even though Cincinnati's had a rough go of it to start the season, they're still quality. They've got a good coach. They've got good players. They've got half of Louisville's team from last year.
I do think losing a Coley is a big miss. That guy up front, I think right now is half the player that Coley was.
He was a special player.
He was a quality player. But it's hard in USL, I think, to keep finding those hidden gems.
And that is the job because, you know, it goes back to what Dale said. You want guys coming here and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a team where people come to stay. They want to do their best and move up.
But I think that's also why we was kind of so, not upset, but so down on the fact that Herrera, we let Herrera go, is the fact that we know how hard they are to find.
Right, exactly.
You know, they are hard to find, especially goal scorers in this league. They're hard to find.
You want to give us a Herrera update? How's he doing in New York?
He came off the bench. They beat Miami, but he's played three, not scored any.
So,
Volski has two.
But we know this can happen with Herrera.
He's a streaky guy.
He scored all the goals for us last year, but handfuls of them came in three or four games.
Yep. They played Miami twice, and Miami battered them in the first game. So, you know, we know Herrera can score. It'll probably just take one.
It'll be when they face us in the Open Cup.
I do hope there's a little clause in there that says that he can't play.
That would be nice. We should get some fine print from Jeremy to see if that's in there.
But we should talk about the Open Cup because the draw is tomorrow.
The draw is tomorrow.
Cannot wait. This is one of my favorite times of year.
I love the Open Cup.
It's so great.
This year's a little different just because the NASL teams and us will be coming in at the same time.
That's right.
So
first round, they're drawing both first and second round tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's right. The one thing that's worth mentioning that, you know, so the PDL/NPSL.
And before you'd have your first game against someone lower than you, the way the numbers add up this year, our first game could be against an NASL team or a USL team even.
We were saying it's most likely going to be a USL team because there's no NASL teams in the Midwest except for Indy, who would probably get Cincinnati or Louisville.
Yeah.
And, you know,
They're going to get a Detroit City or Cleveland. You know, I see us getting drawn against Des Moines again and then probably one of Tulsa or Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
what about Rayo? Oh, never mind.
That's right.
Yeah. We have as much chance playing Rayo as we do a two team.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
But who knows? I mean, I never thought we'd be playing Cleveland last year. I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are going to have to get a little creative. I know they try to do the regional thing, but sometimes it just can't be mm-hmm. done. So it's going to be interesting to see how that draw goes tomorrow. And, of course, we'll post the results.
And as Matt and I were chatting earlier, is that we got to figure that we're probably destined to have a home game, have that first one be a home game, because we're a whole lot more flexible owning our stadium.
Yeah, you got to think we do have an advantage there. A team like Tulsa kind of screwed there just because the baseball team takes up so many dates.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they can't just host on a whim. You know, we could literally cancel practice for Gallagher one night and host a U.S. Open Cup game.
And that's the deal with Louisville. They had to move to a little college last year to play.
That's right.
Who knows? I mean, I never thought we'd play Cleveland last year, and I enjoyed that. And, you know, I do hope it's someone different and it's not the same old. But whoever it is, we just got to beat them.
Yep.
You know, and that's the one thing, too, is that there's a part of me that always wishes that we could get a chance to have the Lions play just, you know, for the fun of it. Obviously, I wouldn't want it to happen because they're both our teams, but just I'd like to see the Lions make it one year.
Well, I mean, the Open Cup is special to me, and Matt, you grew up with the League Cup and with the mm-hmm. FA Cup, and you know, this is the American version of it. We can get little Cinderella teams, and no, they haven't won the final since 99, I guess, was when Rochester did it. But, you know, a couple of years ago, Eric Winalda takes that, you know, amateur team from California. There was the pub team from someplace out northwest that did well a couple times.
There was a team in Pennsylvania that got
Yeah,
one year.
Those are fun, and, you know, we want to make a run. I'm not deluded enough to think we're going to win the championship, but you know, it'd be nice to make a deep run in this.
But the thing is, though, too, is that, you know, there's always that chance. And, you know, the first year we got Sporting KC, and they were a good team. You mm-hmm. know, we may not get, you know, right now, for example, Minnesota's struggling. You know, maybe we get Minnesota, and that's a chance to, you know, make a step there.
Yeah.
Make one step further. And that's the thing. As long as you get just that one step further, I think it's a huge victory. I'd love to go up to Minnesota for that game, too.
That would be cool.
That'd be a good trip.
Oh, yes.
All right. Do you want to talk about the vote?
Do we have to?
Yeah, I think we do.
I really don't want to.
Last podcast, we were coming to you.
Isn't it nice to be just getting back to normal?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it seriously, really just talking about our team and our league and what we're doing right now and the fact that we're winning.
That is very nice. But as Mitch said, this will probably be the last time we talk about MLS to St. Louis.
Stupid mayor. Keeping hope alive.
Yeah, Hope's locked in a dungeon in my basement.
Hope Solo.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay, the vote happened. They passed the Metrolink tax, which was good, but they did not pass the funding of the stadium.
Which, just that alone, is one of the most ridiculous thoughts that has ever crossed a voter's mind.
They raised their taxes and decided...
Got nothing to show for it.
They don't want to do anything with it. Like I said... If it does get used for public safety and they actually hold the Board of Aldermen and the mayor to using that money for all the things that they were against the stadium because it needed to be funded, then good.
A politician holding their word, though?
I don't see it. I see them pissing away the $4 million a year. But
gone.
That is what it is. The aftermath... There have been some funny things. I mean, the GoFundMe account is now up to $11,000.
If you're listening and you put money towards that GoFundMe account, just give me $100 because you're that fucking stupid.
I mean, yeah, it's we need $60 million and we're up to $11,000.
Where's it going to go?
Yeah.
Really? You really think there's a chance of $60 million being done $25 at a time?
And I get that some people are saying, well, we just want to show that we're serious.
11 grand out of 60 million is not serious.
Well,
it's a joke.
No, you know what would have been serious? You know what would have been serious? Getting people out to vote yes. That would have been showing we were serious.
Or, well, I don't even want to go that far because all along they said if you can get 20,000 people out to vote yes, it's enough. Well, we got 27,000.
And it wasn't enough.
And it wasn't enough because a lot of no people came out. Yeah. But if you're donating to a GoFundMe and you still haven't been to St. Louis FC or you don't have season tickets to St. Louis FC, I mean, if you spent $20 on a GoFundMe, that money would have been better spent buying a ticket to see the actual professional team in St. Louis.
Correct.
And I don't have much sympathy for you when, at the end of this, you know, first of all, GoFundMe takes a chunk. And wherever that money goes, I hope it does go to charity, but it's basically wasted.
Yeah.
I mean.
You know, actually, I'm kind of disappointed we didn't think about this. Because I'd like a new car. You know, that chunk could have been a nice deposit on a new car.
I don't know. Like I said.
Could have retrofitted this studio.
Or just come to a St. Louis FC game and throw that $20 in our charity du jour bucket. And we'll
Much
give it to
spent.
Haven of Grace or Autism Speaks or any of the other charities
you know
that
what?
We're
between,
working on.
Between those two games, we've raised $1,300.
Yeah, that's impressive to me.
In two games, we raised $1,300 for two charities.
And you got to see two amazing football games while you were at it. I mean...
And you had good food at the tailgates.
Right.
You had fun with 500 of your closest weird friends.
Well,
and you didn't throw money away.
Weird friends.
I do want to say, you know, thanks to everybody who worked on the campaign. I think all those guys did a good job. I think they followed the plan as far as what the, you know, professional campaign people said, this is what we need to do. Came up a little short. I feel sorry for Jim Cavanaugh, Paul Edgerly. Those guys put a lot into this effort. They still haven't come out and said it's officially over, but, you know, they've said right from the beginning, there is no plan B. So unless there's some magical way that the county or the state are going to chip in and make this happen, which, again, the county has to go to a vote if they want to do anything like this.
Yep.
The timetable of MLS is just too short.
And again, why would the county? We're just going to give you money for something we get nothing out of? That is a...
I don't see it.
I don't understand why people get... You know, you read all the post-vote conversations where people are like, oh, it's because of the county. No, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard because you're asking the county to give money to something that they're not going to get
money
back from.
Well, and that was the other thing. There, you know, people were saying, "Why do you want us to build this? So the county people can come in and spend money and leave."
Yes,
that's exactly why you
that's
want
exactly
them to build
why
it.
You do.
You want people to come into the city of St. Louis and spend money, but It is what it is.
Because it's not just St. Louis County. It's Jefferson County and St. Charles County and St. Clair County.
And Chicago and Kansas County. City. Yeah. And
you know, and that's the thing that always drives me nuts. They always, you know, oh, St. Louis County. There's a shit ton of people living in St. Charles, living in Illinois. You're not asking Illinois. Nobody said, hey, let's ask St. Clair County for money.
Right.
But they're the next closest one to the city, too. Nobody's asking them for money.
Another stupid thing I don't want to hear is the Foundry.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how many times?
They have done nothing to prove that they have what they say they have. They have done nothing. The only thing they have invested in is a book of stamps. They have done nothing. It's just all talk. They have done no walking at all. It's all mouth and no trousers. I have heard nothing from them. But still, I see
people bringing it up on Twitter even today. The Foundry could save this.
No, they couldn't. And again, so that comes back to the other thing. You know, you want that $60 million. Who's going to pay the property tax bill every year? You expect Jim and those guys to pick it up?
The only thing I could think of that might be possible is if the city came back and said, okay, we're going to waive the amusement tax. We're going to waive that fee you're going to pay. We're going to waive property taxes, you know, put some sort of moratorium on it for 30 years or whatever it would take. And then Paul and Jim find another investor. It still doesn't make it easy. It still doesn't make the numbers any better for those guys.
No.
It makes it worse because they're
diluted.
Their ownership stake is diluted.
And you go back to the podcast we had where we're in the boardroom at Scott Gallagher, and Jim was giving out the numbers. The numbers were scary enough as it is, without having to dilute it for another investor too. That I just don't see a return on investment as it is without bringing in another guy and then you have to, you know, split whatever profits you get after 15 years. I just don't see it.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing too, is that it's, you know, the city was going to get, you know, basically the money from concerts. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, the city would lose all of that.
Yeah, that's all off the table because, again, you're not going to throw good money at bad.
Well, and that's other thing. I mean, Matt said it that night. Would you invest $250 million in a city that just told you to fuck off?
Hell no. Absolutely not.
And I mean, I know that's being
glib. Flippant.
Because only, no, you know, 30,000 people came out and voted against it.
But no. 270,000 people did not come out and vote for you.
Yes,
that's the other part about it.
And I just, Plan B is Charlotte. Plan B is San Diego.
I don't think for Jim Cavanaugh, but it might very well be for Paul Edgerly. I think Jim Cavanaugh's Plan B is back to his original plan of funding St. Louis FC and making it, a good team.
And
we hope he doesn't lose interest in that because this has burned him.
Yeah, and that is a concern, is the fact that he's now really jaded.
Because you're not making money in USL. At least with MLS, there's the potential you could make money, 30 years
ago. I was listening to Jim's numbers when we were in the podcast a couple of months ago, and to me, it's just a massive gamble. You're gambling that MLS takes off in the next 20 years, and I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
I don't know. I'm relatively more, which is strange to say, optimistic when it comes to MLS. I think it will continue to grow. It's already passed, hockey and basketball in...
It's not hockey and basketball you want it to
pass? No, I know. But it's gotten past that in live attendances. We need the TV money, because the TV money is what's going to drive it.
But that's the problem. It's not yet.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's the marketplace is changing. When I say TV money, I should say media money.
Streaming
or whatever it's going to be. I still have faith that MLS is going to continue to grow. I don't think anything will beat the National Football League. I think that's just the 800-pound gorilla.
I don't think anything will beat MLB either.
I could see it passing baseball because baseball's fans are dying, man.
But it's entrenched.
It is America's pastime.
It's entrenched. And the other thing is, too, is that they're 30,000-seat stadium on up.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are just... And the other thing is, too, is that you have teams like the Yankees that own the YES network where they're getting not only their money...
3 million people in this country watch Liga MX. And the live MLS game on Fox Sports gets 150,000.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at. It's not baseball. It's not NFL that they're competing against. It's the EPL. It's certainly Liga MX.
It definitely doesn't have the national footprint of a baseball or a football or even basketball or hockey. It's a regional impact, and where it's hot, it's very hot. Portland, you know, Seattle.
It's the NHL in the mid-90s.
It really is, and I think there's an upside.
It's because for those that aren't familiar, in the mid-90s, you know, you saw a little bit of expansion in the NHL. You had the Senators and the Sharks.
Yeah, hockey used to be on Channel 11. There was no ESPN. Yeah. I mean, if you had the Canadian...
Sports America.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a $200 million expansion fee upside.
No,
I think that's extortion.
Yeah,
you can go. I think Sheffield Wednesday, that's got a fan base, got a stadium, and then's got the potential to get in the Premier League for half of that.
What will be funny or interesting to watch is how this vote resonates in other communities that are looking for public money to build their stadiums.
And that's the other thing too.
If dominoes start to fall, and the MLS starts hearing no. No, no, no. You know,
yeah.
Then maybe they come back and they say, okay, maybe our expansion fee is too high. Mm-hmm. But as long as there's
somebody willing to pay
11 it. Cities out there still saying yes to $150 million.
Hell, as long as there's three.
Well, yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, that's all you need is three at this point in time.
So it'll be interesting to see. You know, San Diego's not a done deal, their stadium situation.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is, you know.
But we don't know half of these. We don't know half of these are the stadium, these applications. We don't know what they're.
Cincinnati's been quiet. We don't know anything about theirs.
As we read a couple weeks ago about the situation in Houston, they gave the projection that it was privately funded, and it wasn't.
No, and that's the Houston was 30% public.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, is that there was a lot of people that had that perception, and it wasn't.
Well, and that's the other thing with it going to a vote versus being, if this had been before the Rams stadium situation,
got railroaded through.
It would have been passed through the Board of Aldermen, and nobody would have had a vote. Now things are changing, and we'll see if it spreads across the country.
I imagine it's going to have to.
But I also imagine in Charlotte right now, because they're looking at the county and the city chipping in to pay for that stadium for the upgrade of Memorial. I imagine all the people on the ground there are saying, we're not taking it to a vote. Look what happened in St. Louis.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll grease whoever's, you know, county selectmen or board of aldermen that we have to. Let's get this done behind closed doors.
And that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, it is a much different political climate than it was a year ago.
And again, I do want to give props to Cavs and Paul Edgerly for saying, if we're going to do this, we want to do it with the vote of the people. It was the right way to do it.
Yeah,
unfortunately, they got burned by that.
But that's democracy.
But they saw what had happened with the Rams situation, and they saw how upset people got.
Yes.
And they said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this the right way. So props to them. Sorry it didn't work out.
Yeah. And there's a lot of – and everybody's got criticisms of how they went about it. You know, and we've talked about the different processes and how they went about it. I don't think, no matter how you slice it, this was going to be an uphill battle. And they said that since day one.
Yeah.
They knew this was going to be an uphill battle.
I don't think they counted on the lying and the misinformation against them.
I think that that's exactly where I was headed, is that the amount of misinformation that came out was stunning. And Matt had a great time on Twitter the one day of all these people that were saying, I'm voting no, while they're Facebook pictures were of them at the Blues game, at the Cardinals game, in these publicly funded stadiums.
Yeah,
you know, it's
well, hell, Team TIFF took a picture at opening day of them at Busch Stadium.
Yeah,
like, you are the motherfuckers who are complaining about publicly funded stadiums, and where are you right now?
Yeah,
and where is all that tax money going? It's going to fund the things that you want funded. So,
yeah, it's just, you know, at that point it was when you saw the misinformation, and even still, I mean...
There was no way that you can't counteract it. Once Greitens yelled, welfare for millionaires...
It was over. And that's been... And one of the most interesting conversations I saw on Facebook this past week was a friend was berating a guy saying, you're an uninformed voter. And the guy's like, no, I'm not. And our friend Tony started asking him questions. Well, what about this? Well, I didn't know that. Then you're uninformed.
Right.
You know,
it wasn't just 1 point; it was like 7 points.
And that's the thing that I keep coming back to, is that we've reached an age where people accept the first thing they hear and don't do the homework before they vote, and that doomed this.
It's the soundbite era.
It is.
You know, Jim Cavanaugh had a paragraph to explain to you all the good things this would do for St. Louis.
Don't
they wanted one sentence?
What don't
that
you
was
understand?
Catchy.
I mean, we laughed right. about the what don't you understand, right. but that was exactly it. There was so much information that you needed to read to get it right, right. and people didn't. And the city's going to suffer for it. So congratulations on informed voters.
Well,
I can't. I'm not going to sit here and blame the electorate because I think that's the last bastion of the failed politician.
Right.
But it's democracy, guys. It happened. Is. And we...
And that's kind of why I'm like, let's move on.
Yeah.
So let's, I mean, right now, I mean, there are people that tweet us once a day. Do you think it's dead? I personally think it's dead.
I do so as well. Too.
Now, to be fair, last week I thought it was going to pass and I was wrong. So right. I'm not going to.
And I'm not saying there couldn't be something I haven't thought of or some magical partner out there who clicks with Paul and Jim to make it happen. But
St. Louis has been waiting for an investor for 20 years.
Right.
You think this? They aren't buses. They don't just all come along right. at once after you've waited for 20 years.
Yeah, there's not a line of people with hundreds of millions of dollars willing to give.
John Garber told us that in person.
It's done. Yeah. Let it go. And
get your ass out to soccer park.
Exactly. Because this is I'm as emotionally invested in this team as I could ever be in anything else. It's a good time. We're winning.
And it's what we make it. And
Exactly.
Sacramento gets 11,000 to their USL games. Cincinnati gets 15,000 to their USL games. Louisville says they get 8,000 to their Louisville game to their USL games. Let you know, Jim and Tom have said it from the beginning, make us expand. Let's sell out these games and get more people out there and make Soccer Park the place to be.
And to that respect, we have seen an increase of people. New people coming around that, you know, hey, I didn't know this was going on. I think it's time I finally came out. Whatever the reasoning is, we're seeing a lot of new people the past two games.
And I hope they come back because it's brilliant.
I don't see how they can because again, it's been such a great time.
I've yet to meet the person that's come out and said, nah, not for me. I mean, even if they're not soccer fans, they seem that was a really good time. So
the tailgate crew is murdering it. I mean, the tailgates have been fantastic. The march is wonderful. I mean,
you know, if you come out to three games, you'll start recognizing the players, you start caring, and then you're hooked.
Yeah. All right, let's do some questions, boys. We got some questions from Twitter and from Facebook.
Hot dogs are not sandwiches.
Hot dogs are not sandwiches.
That's what we're going to call this segment.
It's the hot dog segment. This one caused a lot of chatter on Facebook or Twitter the last couple of days. A lot of people want to know who the serial overlikers are. We're not going to say, but we are going to say that there are posts that are made that within 10 seconds of one of us making it, Mitch and I are admins of the Facebook and the Twitter account. Exactly. So there are some people that... And don't get me wrong, I appreciate when you guys like and retweet and share our posts that we make. Like Matt said,
I like it better when they share and retweet.
Like Matt said, you know, his article deserved a few more retweets. But there are some people that like posts that even I don't know what they mean. Because, I mean, sometimes I'll be responding to one person individually who asked a question, and this person will just like it. And like, why are you liking that? It has nothing to do with you.
There's a couple of followers I've got on Twitter, and I know exactly when they get out of work because they'll go through my feed and like,
right.
Yep.
And I'll look at my phone like 15 minutes later and see I've got like 12 notifications all from the same person liking the same thing.
One of them gets off work right as I'm going to bed, kind of that 10:35 to 11 o'clock range.
Yep.
And I'll just be laying there, and all of a sudden my phone's just... Zzz,
zzz, zzz, zzz. And the worst thing is, too, is that, you know, like Facebook Messenger, I can mute until the morning, but you can't... You probably can mute Twitter, but I'm not going to go through it because I'm too lazy.
Yeah, and I don't turn it off because, you know, I use my phone as my alarm clock, so...
Right, yeah, that's the other thing.
It's like, God damn it, I wish you'd start working day shift.
yeah.
So that's all we're going to say about the overliker. I have promised... that if it ever gets to the point where the podcast has run its course and there will be no more podcasts, we will do a final episode power ranking of the most annoying people we deal with on a daily basis. So we're not there yet, but one day, God help us.
And the power rankings are always in flux.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. It changes daily. Greg Havlicks wants to know, and this is a good question. The scoreboard's been having some issues.
Surprise. You know, with having 28,000 feet of water.
Right. He wants to know.
With the ball being smacked at it at 400 mile an hour.
Yeah. He wants to know, is there any chance it will be moved? I don't think so. I think that would be a huge endeavor to move that scoreboard.
If it is, it'll be when the expansion happens behind the goal.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I mean, just from an electrical point of view.
Yeah, the way it's wired and everything, they would have to redo a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's like, you know, after the vote failed and we saw people saying, oh, there's all these things they could do to the...
Yeah, Jim's not going to take all the money he was going to invest in an MLS team and put it into soccer park.
It's like, do you know how much it costs to run permanent bathrooms out behind Section 8?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Would be nice. And
feasibly
if,
possible.
If we keep selling out and spending tons of money out there, it may be in the future, but it's not going to happen next week.
Porta potties for life.
Although
we could use a couple extra porta potties over there.
This ties into it. A guy on Twitter named Wait for a Whistle. He says, soccer park, will we ever see if we're going to stay there and if USL truly is our league for life? What about something like they have down in San Antonio, their Toyota Stadium? It's a 10,000 seater. You know, I think Tom said before they could put up to 9,000 seats at soccer park.
Yep.
They've done the preliminary drawings and they've looked at different ways to close in the ends and things like that.
The issue is where do you park everybody? Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It's not, I have no doubt they can probably build a 15,000 seat stadium there if they wanted to. They've got the space to build the stadium.
Right.
Where do you park everybody?
Well, and
they'll
can't
be the Fred Memorial parking garage.
Yeah, they can't just park on the extra fields because they use those fields. Mm-hmm. The only thing they would have to do is maybe buy a couple of the small businesses around there, you know, to turn them into parking. But again, that's
barges. Float them down the river.
That'd be cool.
Park on the barges.
That would be cool.
And then one day they get off their moorings and everything's fucked.
It all goes back to, you know, Kavanaugh and Tom have both said it. Sell the place out.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about Saturday. There's still 200 seats left and we get a good walk up sellouts. We're talking about the Monday before the Saturday game. They're completely out of tickets and on a regular basis. It can't be, well, yeah, we by the end of the day, there were 5,200 people there. It has to be.
It's sold. Yeah,
we've got 6,000 people in because of walk or standing room only.
We need to be on StubHub seeing tickets for sale. We're not to the point of seeing tickets on StubHub.
So, yeah, when they say sell out on a consistent basis, they mean sell out like that. They mean there are no seats to be had.
When the gray market has more seats available than they do.
You also know the best way to make that happen, right?
Winning.
Absolutely. Keep doing what we're doing.
I like that we're winning.
Yeah, it's fun.
Telling you, man, the best podcasts we do is when we're losing. I don't know what to do when we're winning. I don't know what to
do. I do. Smile.
Ryan Grass wants to know about the new post-game ritual.
It's so good.
If you haven't been out or if you haven't seen it on the YouTube, this was something that I think Mirko and Sarah Robertson started talking about on Instagram.
All credit to them on this one.
He mentioned it to her. He sent her a video of something he really liked, and it comes from Rosenberg where they did it. I mean, probably other teams do it too, but it starts out real quiet, and that's the thing. People, you have to be quiet.
Bird's video, where he yelled, shut up, dickhead.
Shut up, dickhead.
Made, because that's the thing. People don't get it.
It ruined my video, man.
When everybody around you is doing the hands down, be quiet, and shushing, that means shut the fuck up.
I mean, what makes it so special is the dynamics of going from quiet to loud. And we get it. It's going to take a while for the whole stadium to catch on to what we're doing, but if everybody around you is saying shh,
you don't yell,
then how about you shush? And it starts out quiet, and the team, you know, chanting into the megaphone, and it builds and just join in. It's
and the drummer, that's the best too.
Yeah,
and the video this week, and I don't know who it was, but somebody yelled at the right moment.
Shut up, dickhead.
What was that too? But, you know, it was like a come on everybody right at the right moment, right when the drums kicked in.
Right.
And it just exploded. And I got goosebumps right
now.
So awesome.
That's all Mirko and Sarah?
Unbelievable. It works so well.
We learned it on the bus on the way to Louisville. We didn't get to use it. This is going to be a win only kind of thing. We'll only do this after a win.
I like it.
So hopefully you'll hear it many more times this season.
Maybe we're doing it tomorrow night in the bar.
That would be fun.
I'd have no problem with that.
So, yeah, just be quiet at the start and join in when you can.
I do think the Iceland clapping's got to stop, though, I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
That got overdone after the Euros, I'm saying. That's just my two cents.
This is a good one, and this might lead into some of our earlier discussion. Johnny Garcia wanted to know, when healthy, who's our starting back four? Which might be kind of why we've given up a few goals here and there.
I think so.
Absolutely.
So who is it, Bert? Who's our starting back four?
Conrad and AJ in the middle. Sharpie at right back. And I'm going to say Eric or Sheldon on the left back. I've not seen Eric.
We haven't seen enough of Eric to
say anything. But as it stands right now, with Eric out the picture, Sheldon, Sharpie on the flanks, and Conrad and AJ in the middle.
I think that'd probably be my call.
Yeah, I don't see much changing to that.
I am.
Again, I think Ledbetter has room to improve, and he may make a case for himself before the year's out. But right now, I think.
I do want to congratulate Ryan Howe on getting his first professional win. I just don't get the warm and fuzzies from him right now. He's still got to grow. I look at how he played on that Frankenfield down in Louisville, and he kind of got torched a couple of times. And
anybody can look bad on that field.
I agree, and he looked a lot better on Saturday, but I'm going with Big Matt Sheldon.
Okay. Greg Halvax again wants to know, I'm getting a phone call, with the MLS vote passing, do you think that'll have any effect on the players coming in and Preki?
I don't think so, because first we'll start with the players. I think they want to be here because of Preki, because of the environment. I don't think that changed. I think anybody that really, let's be honest, it would be 4 years away.
Yeah.
You know, if the only way that you could be concerned about that right now is if you're 19, 20, 21, because that puts you at 25 and that's MLS time.
I think Jeremy said it best. Was that nobody's coming here for MLS, but MLS was a good indicator of how serious we were about soccer.
Yes.
And we know that's true about Preki. I mean, Preki's here to show off. Preki wasn't here to become the first coach of a St. Louis MLS team.
Mm-mm. If
2 years from now, Preki should be gone.
Yes, and if he does well, he'll be snapped up by someone else, be it in Europe or here or wherever.
I think we have to be afraid right now. Mid-MLS season, if a coach gets fired, I think Preki's on that short list just for his past accomplishments. So definitely in the off season, I think Preki's name's going to come up whenever there's a coaching vacancy at MLS.
Well, and now that he's
or Leicester.
Now that he's been fired. You know, and that was the thing, that the time he was gone from the game, I think he was a pipe dream, but now that he's actually productive, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, he's put together a damn good team right now.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about losing Preki to another USL team.
No.
But I do think his name will be called if and when the Minnesota job opens up or any other, you know, MLS team.
So. I agree, but if he goes on to bigger and better, it'll be because he's done well here. And I want him to do well here.
Oh, yeah. No, mm-hmm. And he knows he's in a shop window. I mean,
they all are. Everyone is.
It's just like the players. They want to do as well as they can, mm-hmm. and look as good as they can. So when that opportunity comes, they're ready.
I mean, technically, if we do well, Jeremy's in the shop window.
You're not going to lose me to another USL podcast. I just want you to know.
Thanks, Bird.
I do consider this the shop window, but, you know, I've got standards.
Let's Go Blues on Twitter wants to know, we've already talked about make improvements to Soccer Park. I think every year they've done a little something. I mean, obviously with the flood, they did a lot of something. But this year they added more seat backs in, you know, different sections. And I think they will continue to reinvest in Soccer Park and make it better and add, you know, different, you know, amenities mm-hmm. to make it as nice as they can. Obviously, you know, my dream is when they do expand behind the goal, you know, if that happens, to have a nice safe standing section behind the goal. So we're not balancing on bleachers and, you know, falling through for some of us heavier gentlemen. you know, maybe a little roofed stand behind the goal. That would be awesome. But again, we've got to keep making money out there. You know, if attendance drops because of the MLS loss, then no, they're not going to add more money to it. But I think as long as it's reasonable and practical, Tom and Jim will keep.
I would rather have a full 6,000 seat stadium than a half empty 10,000 seat stadium.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So I think, yeah, I think as long as it makes financial sense for them to keep improving the stadium, they will.
It means we just got to keep winning and keep doing what we do.
I think we've got a consummate USL stadium there. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, you look what they've done down in Phoenix. It's very similar to mm-hmm. what we have. It's something Louisville would kill for, quite frankly. I mean,
speaking of which, it sounds like they're going to get news on their stadium tomorrow.
Good. Well, I hope. I wish the best for them. Cause
I do too, because playing in a baseball stadium sucks.
No, and then they're good fans, and they've been loyal to their team, and they shouldn't lose $1 million a year because they're playing in a shitty baseball field. Let's, we haven't done this one in a while, and that's why I wrote it down. Matt, what are your thoughts on ProRel, and will it happen in the United States? This is from Dan on Twitter.
I don't think I I don't think anyone who doesn't know me knows that I advocate an open system. I think
does anyone not advocate an open system? Does anyone
sure.
not?
Absolutely.
Robert Kraft?
Well, yeah. I mean, fan-wise, are there fans that don't want ProRel?
Yeah, if you're a Chicago Fire fan right now, you do not want ProRel.
Okay,
if you're a St. Louis FC fan for the past 2 years, you don't want ProRel.
Good point. But we all think it would be good for the game.
I think it would be great for the game. I think it would be great for our national team.
But that's a different question than do you think it will ever happen in the United States?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't, and
I don't also don't believe it'll happen in the lower leagues. I mean, we're talking about USL getting a Division III in a couple of years. I don't think they'll do ProRel between that. Because you know why? Because it'll be a success. And MLS cannot have ProRel being a success in this country because then people will start asking questions. People that matter will start asking questions.
Well, and
they cannot have... It's like universal healthcare. There's people out there that aren't afraid it won't work. They're afraid it will. And that's why they want to stop it.
And that's the thing. When you have ProRel, you stop getting $200 million a franchise. You stop getting all the...
Well, absolutely.
Absolutely. Magic Johnson would have bought OC Blues, pumped a bucket load of money into it, and risen up the table.
Well, yeah. If there was ProRel right now, why wouldn't Jim Cavanaugh put $150 million of his expansion fee into this team right now?
And that's exactly what happens around the world.
And that's why it won't happen here, because the Robert Krafts of the world have put that money in, and they're not going to get it back if that happens.
I understand that, but at some point, American soccer has to take the training wheels off. We have to pull our pants.
I'm going to go one step further. I think England will lose ProRel before America gets it.
I could agree
with that. Now, I don't think it'll happen in the lower league teams, but I could imagine the top teams.
There will be riots in the streets, man.
It's like
there
will be riots in the fucking streets. European Super League talked about.
The European Super League will happen.
That's what I'm saying. And there won't be any ProRel into that. That'll just be the top boys.
Yep.
Because Manchester United is good for Super League. Leicester City isn't.
I understand that. But here's the thing. How bored are you of watching PSG versus Manchester City now?
I'm not saying it would be good. I'm saying the owners are going to say, I'm tired of this crapshoot gamble. Let's bring in Celtic. Let's bring in, you know, whoever, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Arsenal, and let's make our own little, not Arsenal, we're out of it now, but
let's get $150 bucks a ticket.
At the very base level of soccer, it's always been the haves against the have-nots, and that's why it's awesome.
No, I agree with you 1,000%, mm-hmm. but I also know the people that have are looking down at all the other people.
But you talked about, all right, I'm not a baseball guy. I don't know the intricacies of baseball. But we all talked about the Open Cup and the FA Cup, right? How awesome would it be to revamp baseball that we all agree here is kind of on the decline?
Oh, yeah.
That they did an Open Cup kind of system. The Toledo Mudhens against the New York Yankees in a one-off game.
I think it would be amazing because you have baseball teams. You have NFL teams. Let's just throw out NFL. Where the lowest level of NFL team, there are teams that have been god-awful for 20 years.
Yep.
And their owners don't put anything into them, and you know they don't, because they're getting the same share of that TV contract, and
no matter what happens,
you know, they're looking at it purely dollars and cents.
The Cleveland Browns will be awful.
There's no
exactly
there is
the
no,
Pittsburgh Pirates in baseball. You know, well, I mean, without, during different periods,
without promotion and relegation, there is no incentive to thrive for excellence.
And that's why I agree. I think it would
but
be beautiful.
That's the American way.
I think it's beautiful. I think it would be perfect. I think that's part of the reason I fell in love with European soccer. Was
oh, it absolutely is.
Because at the end of the season,
the relegation
every
battle
game
is
matters.
The most important battle in
you know, how
soccer.
Many worthless games are there at the end of the baseball season or the end of the hockey season where there's no playoff?
The Blues playing Colorado Saturday night.
Nobody cares.
No, all you're doing is trying not to get injured.
Right.
I mean, literally,
but
the Blues could have just laid down on the
ice. At the end of the soccer season, that 17-15 team matchup is huge. That's more
monstrous.
Important to me than the top of the table.
And it goes back. Yeah, there's no promotion or relegation in MLB. There's no promotion or relegation in NBA. There's no promotion or relegation in NFL. We are not against those sports. We are fighting on a global
right.
A global marketplace.
That's true.
We're fighting against the Bundesliga. We're fighting yes. with the EPL. We're fighting with Argentina.
But I think every owner in that owner's meeting at MLS says, we can't let this happen.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing.
But I appreciate what they did 20 years ago. They stuck soccer on the map, and they took a gamble, and I get that. But that doesn't mean you get to own the game in perpetuity. At some point, we've got to put our big boy pants on, and we've got to
go
for this.
The first part about that is that you're going to have them divorced from U.S. soccer. And that's the problem. Those two are so intertwined right now
absolutely.
That it'll never happen. Because right now, who was the kid from Minnesota a couple years ago that was really good that was getting a look at the national team?
Ibarra.
Yeah.
Ibarra.
Yeah. You know, that's once in two decades that you see that happen. Somebody in a lower division getting a look at. It's never going to happen at this point in time.
But you know what? Danny Williams has played for the United States. DeAndre Yedlin has played for the United States, and they play in the championship. But in the championship, they are thriving. They are battling to get up
absolutely.
A league. Whereas you can't say that the New York. The
and
New
when was
York
the last? When was the last time that Deuce battled?
No. I think that now I will say I think there's certain players, and I will put Clint Dempsey in that, you know, in that
he's
realm.
He's a gamer.
When you cross that white line, you are a gamer.
He is. I agree. But I'm saying.
But I'm going to tell you, I don't think Jozy Altidore is.
No,
I think he's just picking up a check.
Yep. But that's my point. You know, if you're sitting there and you're on a team that's in third, fourth, and you're in your division and you're not going anywhere, where's your incentive? They're catching checks.
So I mean,
people say, right? And people say that, well, we don't have the infrastructure, we don't have this, we don't have that.
But
that's
bullshit.
Baloney.
We do.
If Jim Kavanaugh can take the $150 million that he was going to spend on to give it to Don Garber and put it into Soccer Park, we would have the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson would put the money into OC Blues instead of LAFC, and they'd have the infrastructure. You would see unparalleled investment in lower league soccer if they got rid of the glass ceilings.
And you'd see something different in, for example, Colorado, where Colorado Springs would have a chance to usurp Kroenke mm-hmm. and the Rapids because Kroenke's not putting anything into it. Why not? You know, that's...
So, I mean, I think... I don't want anybody to misunderstand my pessimism for thinking it's not...
Feasible.
Best.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
That's the thing.
But I wish it would happen. I agree with all those points that we've made about it would be good for the game.
And whether
and it would be interesting for the game. Because some MLS games are...
Shit.
Towards the end of the season, meaningless.
There are some that are meaningless in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You can win your last 8 games in MLS and win the title.
Right.
You know, if you go 500, win your last 8 games, you won the title. That's.
But I still think we could incorporate the playoff system. I think we could keep the Americanness mm-hmm. of sports and do pro rel. I just don't think the powers that be will ever let it happen.
No, because again, they've got too much vested that they will never get back.
And this is America, and Kraft is a guy that owns the Patriots. A lot of these MLS owners own other teams in sports, and they're going to say, are you crazy? We're not giving up our golden goose. So,
well, and it's market domination, too.
Yeah.
When you have a Robert Kraft who owns the Patriots, who owns...
A Chicago Fire, perfect example, because an NASL or USL team could come into Chicago and could work and
yeah.
be better than the Chicago Fire are.
Yep.
But there's also two thoughts here. You talk about Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft owns the Patriots. He doesn't want soccer to get bigger than the NFL.
I think he's hedging his bet with it.
With soccer where it is right now, they've got the best of both worlds. But also, you've got tons of clubs coming in from Europe in the summer to play friendlies here, you know, and they're 120, 140, 150 bucks a ticket. In our own country, there are owners out there, and I would say that the LA Galaxy is maybe one of these teams. LAFC, I think, will certainly be one. Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders, where they want the salary cap gone. They want to want to grow. They want
to
expand.
There are more ambitious teams, definitely.
Absolutely. And they're the ones that are going to have to push for this. Yeah. They're the ones that are going to have to push for a more global.
That's the thing. You'll have to get a tipping point of those kind of managers. And I think, unfortunately, American sports, it has become a business. It has become,
well, I think
there's not the pride that there used to be, because they're not family owned teams and they're not, you know.
But I think that'll all happen when they stop expanding.
You know,
because soon as the commodity stops being available, the existing becomes more valuable. So then, you know, you get a, like Vincent Tan. You know, we make fun of him because he's insane. But there was a commodity available, and he put his money into it, and he jumped in on it and got stupid with it.
If you are an owner that invests in your team, you do not have to worry about relegation.
No.
You know, if
St. I don't know, though, if St. Louis FC
went to MLS, my stance on the matter would not change. I would still advocate an open marketplace because
I would
want my owner to give a damn.
I agree.
And there's owners in American sports that don't give a damn, and we tolerate that, and I do not understand why.
Do you think Paul Edgerly would tolerate it? Absolutely not.
Here's the thing. This has been our once a year pro rel discussion. we always go back to, I think all of us are steadfastly in agreement that it would be wonderful for the game, for the individual games watching them, and for the game overall and its growth in this country. But I think all of us are maybe birds a little more optimistic that it may happen one day if all the cards align, but I just don't see it happening in the United States.
I don't either, because
unless FIFA comes in and says,
but here's
you
the thing.
Must
here's
do this.
The thing, and we can talk about it.
FIFA is as crooked as anybody else. So.
and the U.S. is ignorant enough that we'll say, fuck you, we're America, we don't do that.
Well, that's what they have for 20 years.
Yeah.
Because FIFA are going to make Australia do it. They are going to make Australia do it, and I think... but I don't think the powers that be in FIFA, and let's not kid ourselves, the people who pull the strings in FIFA are UEFA and CONMEBOL.
Yeah.
They pull the strings. They know that if Pro Rel and an open pyramid comes into America, the American game will get better.
Yeah.
And they can't.
Maybe
they
not
they,
want
they,
that,
they
yeah.
They don't want that. I don't think they want that.
I think we also have to look at the fact that it's more than upsetting U.S. soccer. I don't think FIFA really cares about that. They don't want to upset Coca-Cola and Budweiser and all these American companies.
But look how much money Coca-Cola and Budweiser and Anheuser and you know, they spend on the World Cup.
Yeah.
They spend on foreign leagues. Here's another thing, right? People say, well, you know, if you get relegated, you know, you go into financial ruin. Lots of American clubs fail,
right?
Because they hit glass ceilings and that's it. You talk to Sonny Zigic. Sonny Zigic with FC Bordeaux put on a pretty good team, and at the end of the season he pretty much came to the conclusion, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
I'll have to do it again next year. There's no advancement, and teams fall by the wayside. They collapse because there's nowhere else to go. And in an open system, if they do better, they can keep advancing, or they can sell it to a richer guy who can take it further. And you can't do that here. I think there will be unparalleled investment, not just in clubs, but also in academies, because then you have an inducement to produce the best.
Glad you brought that up, because I was just going to mention that, is that, you know, a great example right now is Newcastle being down. They're having a hell of a season in the Championship because they're putting the effort in, and their U23 team is destroying teams right now because they said, we're screwed. We have to build this back up. They fixed it. You know, there was a systemic problem that needed to be fixed.
And for team for people to say, you know, if you get relegated and, you know, you go into financial ruin, if you can be relegated from the richest league in the world, like Newcastle, and be okay, your argument's null and void as far as I'm concerned. You know,
they're better than okay right now because they're going to come up next year and be a lot stronger also, than they were 3 years ago.
Every time you look at a Newcastle result right now, you're filled with hope. You know, you've got, oh, they won again. Awesome. You know,
careful, Mitch. It'll kill you.
That kills you.
But if you're a Sunderland fan right now, every week is the same garbage. You know, if they go down next year, they'll win a few games, and the fans will be loving it again.
Yeah.
There is a
resurgence that happens with good clubs when they go down and come back up.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Watford right now. Well, you know, they're a good example. Mm-hmm. You know, they were down for 6 years, whatever it was. They're doing very well right now, all things considered. They're middle of the table. That's fine. That's great for a club like that.
And I do think we're getting to the point where we have the infrastructure to do it now.
Oh, we absolutely do.
Yeah.
And we have the stadium. And that's the thing. We have the stadiums.
As the Division II and Division III standards get more and more rigid and they're in place, there are several teams that in Division II that are ready, could do it. And let's not forget, when a team in England jumps up a couple divisions real quick, you know, it happens occasionally where they don't have a 40,000-seat stadium in the Premier League. They've got smaller, and they've got a window in which to build up to, you know, make advance. Or you have to make certain improvements to your stadium. But
you look at Bournemouth, they've got an 11,000-seat stadium. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a joke in America where the division criteria is based on things like a population of your city. It should just solely be on how you do on the pitch. Right. You look at Eibar. Eibar's got a stadium of 6,000, and they've been in the La Liga now for 3 years. I mean, everything should be mandated, I think, on how you do on the pitch.
Right. And on the flip side, you look at the New England Revolution playing in Gillette. You know, you're playing.
They've got a 78,000 seat stadium or whatever it is. Yeah,
I mean, and we saw that with Kansas City and Arrowhead, and we see that in Seattle. I mean, you know, there's a flip side to it that is just as ugly as playing in too small of a stadium.
All right, let's move on. I think we've covered.
Because you know, you said if you know, is there
you
a
got
fan
him
out,
started?
Is,
don't
is,
look at
is,
me.
Is there a fan out there that doesn't want Pro Rel? Jason McAdams was screaming into his radio. yes, me.
Well, all right, but I think most fans love Pro Rel. I think that was part of the attraction, like I said, to European soccer for me, and I think a lot of people. There's a romance to that.
God, I love that last day when
I do
the scratching and clawing.
At the end of the day, I think that American clubs should be afforded the same opportunities that every other club around the world gets.
Yeah,
I personally think it's a disgrace that we don't.
I think you're doing the American fans a disservice.
No, but I agree with that. I think
no, not the American fans. I think the American clubs deserve the same opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's a throwaway statement. It's a TED statement that he's used, but it rings
true.
That's
the other thing. Let's throw this into the discussion, and that'll be the final word. I think people like Ted do the Pro Rel movement a disservice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the powers that be that fight against Pro Rel need Ted. They need a rallying point. They need an Emmanuel Goldstein in 1984 to rail against.
They need somebody without
We need someone
without a tinfoil hat leading the charge.
But
you know what I mean?
But you're not,
because whenever you talk about Pro Rel in America, everybody goes, "Oh, fucking Ted."
Yeah.
I'm not the same as Ted.
You know who it was 7 years ago? It was Jeff Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the guys like Jeff Cooper that had that wanted to be in the club, weren't let into the club, and they said, "Screw you, we're going to make our own club."
Yeah,
you know, and that's when we got what's now the NASL, which is its own shit show.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Jake Gooderman wanted to know injury update. Here's the thing,
Jesus,
we don't get a lot of information at this league, and a lot of it is you don't want your opposition to know how banged up you are. But here's what we know. Mirko had the broken leg. Surgery went well.
He was on the knee scooter the other day.
Yeah,
he'll
I think they said 12 weeks. Knowing this guy, he's probably going to tear the cast off with his teeth in about 6 weeks, and he'll be out there playing. Cavalcetta, we know, is training again. He's not 100%, but expect him soon-ish.
Which is good. We need...
Dalgard got, we saw him get knocked up in the game the other day. Don't know what it is. Don't know how long he'll be out.
Pregnant?
Yeah, he got pregnant. That's a 9-monther. No, I mean, he just looked like he took a shot, maybe a sore hamstring, who knows.
Hopefully he just stubbed his toe.
Sheldon did travel with the team, so we're hoping he's going to play. The only one I don't know literally anything about is Milan. You know, he's been on the bench and then off the bench and played. I don't know if these are just personnel decisions that Preki's deciding who's starting and whatever, or if he's really picked up something, but I would assume it's fairly minor.
I have to presume at this point, if Milan's not playing, he's injured.
So
because he's that, I think he's that good.
Yeah,
and, yeah. But, I mean, but I don't think it's anything major. It's not a broken leg anything.
Yeah, he's just picked up a knock.
So. Yeah, you know, a hammy pull or something that you know.
And he was pogo hopping when we did the song. So
yeah. So I mean, hopefully he'll be back in the starting lineup.
I don't know anything about Comrade either. I don't know what's wrong with him. No, he's not been playing.
No. Yeah. Again, and I assume that's something minor because he was there. You know, singing the chant. And
I do think Ledbetter's coming and done all right though.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean that's a guy that I like.
You know, he's a young kid learning his craft, but he's coming and done okay.
And he's a kid that's still got a chance to make it to the next level. He's young enough,
yeah.
And this is why he's here, is to get that time mm-hmm. and seasoning, as they say, to make the jump. Mike Baldridge wanted to know about Chad Bond. Okay, there's been no official word on Chad Bond. Obviously, he's not playing with the team. I would just say he's not part of Preki's plan.
The thing is that there's so many legalities that go into this kind of stuff, that being him not an American-born, that the USL is limited with how many
international
slots you can have.
They may be looking for a place for him. He may have found a place, but he can't officially sign yet. All we know is he's not on the St. Louis FC playing roster right now.
Let's be honest. I like Chad. I thought he was a great guy. I would like to have seen it maybe work out, but it hasn't worked out. And you know, I don't honestly think he's getting in this midfield anyway when we're all healthy. Well, so
his style just doesn't fit this game.
Yeah. Again, Chad's a great guy. I think Chad did a job for us last year. But you're right. Who does he displace at this point?
You know, when we're all healthy, he's not bouncing Mirko out of this team. That's Mirko kept him out of the Sacramento team 2 years ago.
Right.
Yep.
You know, it's not happening.
So, wishing well.
I can only presume that he's been bumped off the roster to make room for another international. You know, we can kind of go through how many internationals we are. I don't know how many international slots we're allowed, yeah. But if it's five, we have five internationals on this team.
But, you know, he wasn't one of the guys that was let go from a contract. We have to assume that if he fit with Preki and what Preki wanted to do, he'd be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was injured to start the season, but he should have been back by now, and they should have made some sort of announcement by now if he was truly injured and still a part of the plans. I think their silence just kind of speaks volumes about where Chad is right now.
And again, I just think that the way the contracts are, you know, is technically under contract. This is what it is. You can't do anything with them. You can't do anything.
Maybe they have decided, but USL hasn't signed off on it yet.
That's the other
because
thing.
USL doesn't know what the fuck they're doing when it comes to contracts.
I mean, we signed a backup goalie yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, pending USL approval.
Right.
That could be 32 days from now.
So who knows? All we can say is as we wish Chad the best.
Absolutely.
Wherever he winds up.
He's going to be another guy that I follow because yeah. I really did like the guy. He was.
And as soon as we know, we'll let you know. But
Great dude, great player.
No word officially on Chad.
And the ladies love the Chad.
The ladies did love Chad Bond. I just want to mention merch real quick. We've got more scarves on the way. We still have some for sale, so $20 at the tailgate. We got some new stickers. They came in. They're a little smaller than the last ones. Mitch called them subtle.
I think it's a little more subtle because the last ones were big. Were,
yeah.
What, 4-inch
stickers? 4 inches. These are 3 inches, so just a little bit smaller.
There's probably so many jokes we can make
there
about
really
our lives
is.
Here.
There really is.
But
they're cute.
But I...
Two different styles. We got the old skull and the new skull.
I like the new skull and the smaller.
Yeah.
For some reason, it just seems to be a little bit more crisp.
Yeah.
I like it.
So we'll have those. Those are available for $1 towards the charity du jour bucket. Those will be at the next home game. We've got a new Bus 2 shirt coming. it's a limited edition. You have to be at the games to pick them up. We're not going to mail them anywhere. And they're pre-order only. We're not ordering any extras. We're not going to sell them at the tailgate. They will be pick-up your pre-orders only. One and done. It's a very nice design by Ryan Malshak from Adrenaline Prints.
The check engine light.
It's got the Luligan skull. It's a black-on-black design. Check engine light on the skull instead of the fleur-de-lis.
I love it.
A little tire road rash on it. And on the back is the names of all 50 of the people who didn't make the trip to Louisville because the bus was harpooned. There also are four names on the back of the T-shirt that are in a little darker gray because even though they went down with the bus, they hitched a ride and made it to the game.
They were the survivors.
They were the survivors of Bus 2. So it's a neat shirt. Look at it on Facebook and Twitter and get those orders in by Friday.
Yeah, that like I said, it's a great shirt and it's a one and done. So
it's a one and done. And then after that shirt, we're going to be doing a ketchup on a steak T-shirt that a lot of people have been asking for. That'll be our next T-shirt. It'll be green. And in addition to that, Mitch had a great idea this week. We're going to do a youth-only shirt. Normally, we can't stock youth shirts because how many do you order? How many kids would want one? We're going to do a special youth-only shirt.
Pre-order, again, pre-order only.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to stock it.
Stock them just because how many do you carry? Right. And kids grow. You might say, oh, I need, you know.
So keep an eye out for that probably 2 or 3 weeks away.
Also, we do have a Cafe Press store. Go on our website, hit the swag button, and we have a rake of stuff for sale on Cafe Press. Cafe Press is kind of expensive because they take their cut, you know, but I mean.
And there's kid stuff there, so especially if you need a kid shirt.
Anything from iPhone covers to Ringer t-shirts to, you know, I was. Thongs, whatever. You know,
I was waiting for that one.
Well, you know, I didn't want to go there, but it was it was in the forefront of my mind.
You can't not.
But I mean, there's a lot of stuff for
sale. And some of our older designs that people every once in a while will see us at a game and say, oh, where'd you get that shirt? Oh, we did that one back then. It's on Cafe Press if we did an old one. So check there. And we usually mark everything on the Cafe Press store up $1. And at the end of the year, we take however much is made on that Cafe Press store, and we throw it into the charity du jour bucket. So it costs a little extra, but it does go to charity. So,
again, we're doing really good with charity this year. Let's keep it up. What's the next charity du jour? Have we decided yet?
I believe it is. Yeah, we did decide, but I can't remember right now off the top of my head.
It's the MLS GoFundMe account.
It is not that. I'll tell you that much. We'll announce it on the Facebook. We're only going to do those at home games. We may do some charitable things at watch parties, but I will announce it before our next home game what our next charity du jour will be.
And not this week, and this week, but the next home game or away game watch party. ITAP is donating some glasses that we're going to give away. So, like I said, not this week, because with everything weeknight and Easter weekend, we're not planning on it. But you know, the next home game after that, we're going to start really ramping up the watch parties.
Going to have
away
some,
games. I keep saying home games.
Yeah, special cups for ITAP. And don't forget, if you can't make it on Saturday, because like Mitch said, it is Easter weekend. Maybe you're doing stuff with the family the night before. The game's even easier to watch on Saturday.
That's right.
It's going to be on KPLR Channel 11. So. Just don't even have to fire up the Roku or the YouTube or the Chromecast. Or just turn it on regular channel 11.
Got to remember to set the TiVo for that one.
That's right. And it'll be at Cincinnati, so it'll be a good one to watch. They get a bunch of people there. It'll be their home opener. So let's hope we ruin their party.
That's another thing, too, I didn't even think about. Since it's going to be the first game on channel 11,
yep.
People who have never seen it before who turn it on are going to see that huge stadium full of people, and they'll say, hey, this is legit.
Yep. And, that's the hope that more people will just stumble upon the game while flipping through the channels. YouTube is great because we can watch all of the games for free, but you have to seek it out. You know, you're not going to accidentally run into that game. Channel 11, they're showing the two games in Cincinnati, which will be big crowds, and they're showing 8 home games, which hopefully people will see that too. They'll see how great it is at Soccer Park because I still believe the people that haven't come out have it in their mind that this is minor league soccer, like minor league baseball, and they don't appreciate what a great atmosphere it is that we have at Soccer Park. So
it really is. And that's, you know, watching the videos that other people posted the past two games, you know, from the side, you know, on Facebook and Twitter from the other side of the stadium. Yep. You don't get a feel for how great of a, you know, when you're in the thick of it, you don't get the forest for the trees, so to speak. It's a pretty damn awesome place.
I think it is.
It's when we're winning.
So
that helps.
That's all I got for tonight, guys.
Pro Ralph for USA.
That may be the only way we get MLS to St. Louis.
But as I say, even if we'd have got MLS, I would still advocate for change.
And not only that, we'd still have this to worry about for the next 3 years.
That's right. So come out, enjoy yourself at Soccer Park, and I don't know. That's all I got.
See you at the watch party Wednesday and Saturday.
Yep.
And then following
22nd, is it? That's the next home game.
Yeah, Charlotte.
Charlotte Independence.
Let's do it.
Bye.
Turn it up. Get that kid a mic!
Shut up, dickhead.
Louder!
Shut up!
Sha la 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 la.